Thank you, Lord. Oh, he is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad to be with you guys this week. It's been a crazy week, but it is so good to be with my family. And I'm pretty stoked to hang out with you guys for the next 30, 35 minutes. However long it takes, I want to continue to talk about prayer. I think prayer is the great weapon, one of the great weapons in our arsenal as Christians that we don't use as often as we should. We have this wonderful tool that God has given us, and so often we don't know what to do with it, we don't know how to use it, or we just don't do it. So, you know, last couple of weeks we've been talking about prayer. We went over the Lord's Prayer, which I said would probably, maybe a better name for it would be the Disciples' Prayer, or we can just call it a template for prayer, because it's not the Lord's Prayer. Jesus Christ had no need to pray that particular prayer, as it talks about forgiving his sins and stuff like that. Our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ does not need to be forgiven of his sins. Amen. If Jesus Christ was a sinner, bear with me, guys. If Jesus Christ would have broken God's law, if he was a sinner, if he would have sinned one time, then he would have had to go to that cross and pay for his sins. But he was that sinless, spotless lamb who died on the cross and rose from the dead and paid for our sins so we can spend all eternity with our Heavenly Father in heaven. So we have that to look forward to. Whatever you might be going through in this particular season of your life, remember, if you're a Christian, it's going to get good. If you're a Christian, hold on. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Let's get excited this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But we went over the Lord's Prayer. And we talked about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. The main thing that I want us to take away from this study is, number one, let's spend some time with the Lord. It's not about saying fancy words. It's not about, you know, saying, being this great oratorial person where everybody likes and digs the things you're saying. It's about getting alone. We can pray in public as well, but it's about getting alone and spending some time with the Lord. And we want to approach him as often as we can. The Lord says, pray without ceasing. Okay, this is so our life should revolve around prayer. It's not like we can stop on the job site and kneel down for 45 minutes or 10 minutes and say a prayer, but God wants prayer to be something that is very important to us. And we don't always have to spend 30 minutes or 10 minutes in a time of worship before we begin to pray. We do need to spend time with God. Amen. So we want to do that as Christian folks. We want to spend time with the Lord, definitely in Scripture. We want to spend time in Scripture every single day, if possible. Don't kick yourself in the feet or the fanny if you can't do it. But let's spend time in Scripture and let's spend time in prayer. Can I get a witness this morning? Main thing we want to take away from the study is pray, man. Pray. We need the practice. We need to spend time with the Lord. So let's look at 1 John 5:14 and verse 15. This is kind of our main verse this morning, but we're going to jump around a lot. So instead of trying to keep up with me in your Bible, which is not a bad thing, you can look on the back of your bulletin. You can look on the monitors. But we are going to kind of jump around just a little bit. 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So number one, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you that we're going to leave here refreshed and energized, that we're going to leave here with the desire to be what you've called us to be, that we will have the desire to pray and spend time with you and spend time in the Word, and that we will be a blessing to one another, Lord. We love you and praise you. Your will be done. Thank you for your anointing once again, because without your anointing, we're nothing. So thank you so much, Lord. And everybody in the church said, amen. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So remember when we were going over the Lord's Prayer, what was one of the things in the template that Jesus Christ brought out for us? He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we pray, we want to be like Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane as the cross of when the cross was just around the corner, and he said, I'm going to paraphrase this, but he said, not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. So when we go before the Father, Okay, it's very, very important that we say, God, your will be done. And I'm not saying you have to mouth those words, God, your will be done. But in our hearts, we're saying, God, I give this petition to you. This is the request that I'm making, Lord. But you see the big picture. You see the end from the beginning. You know what needs to happen in this situation better than I do. And we say, God, your will be done, not my will, but your will be done. And that's something that we need to mean, God, your will be done. And if we don't want to pray, God, your will be done, why don't we pray about that? God, give me the desire. Give me the desire to want what you want. Because listen, he's our heavenly Father, okay? And he only wants what's best for us. Okay, so does God answer prayers? Yeah, he answers prayers. He certainly does. We know that as Christian folks. We know that he answers prayers. But sometimes, like a loving father, that answer will be no. You know, sometimes like, no, that's not going to be beneficial to your spiritual growth. That's not going to be beneficial to your relationship with me. Or sometimes, you know, he'll say, not yet. It might not be the right time for that certain thing that you're asking for. But he does answer our prayers. And remember, he is our loving Father. He is faithful to us, and he knows what's best for us. And that helps us say, if we have this picture in our minds or in our hearts, that God honestly wants what's best for me, okay, that he is my loving Father, then that is going to help me say, God, your will be done. You know what's best. You know how this thing needs to work out better than I do. Amen. Moving forward. Okay. Let me read this verse right here. Psalm 37 and verse 4. It's a real beautiful verse. I love it a lot. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Is the Lord your delight this morning? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hands about that. I mean, but think about that. What truly gives us joy? Are we chasing the blessings or are we following the blesser? You know, do we delight ourselves in the Lord? And if we don't delight ourselves in the Lord, that's something that we need to work on, right? What are we spending time in prayer for? One of the reasons we spend time in prayer is to grow in our relationship with the Lord. We have this wonderful blessing where we can get into Scripture, we can get in the good book and learn about our Lord, but not just learn about our Lord, but grow in relationship with him. We can spend time in prayer and learn about our Lord, but not just learn about our Lord, but learn to grow in relationship with him. What a wonderful, precious thing. See, we're not following some philosophy of some dead guru from a couple thousand years ago. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a heavenly Father, and he is our heavenly Father. That means that when I accept Christ, I am now grafted into that family. He is my Father. I am his son. And so do we delight in our heavenly Father? If we don't, that's something that we need to work on. And that's going to come from spending time with him. What I'm trying to say is, the more time you spend with the Lord, the more you're going to realize what a wonderful and loving and faithful God we have. And he truly does what's best for us. Psalm 37 verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is one of those verses, man, that can be a little tricky sometimes, man. And it sounds really, really good. Okay, God's going to give me the desires of my heart. Thank you, baby. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll go ahead and shut that, by the way. Yeah.
But thank you for that. Give the Lord some praise, church people.
Thank you, Lord.
Delight yourself in the Lord. We got a lot of things that can take prominence in our life over the Lord. Remember 1 John 5:21, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Don't let anything take God's place in your life. We want to delight ourselves in the Lord. Okay, anyways, let's look at this verse again. Psalm 37 and verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Man, that sounds awesome. God's going to give me everything I ever wanted. Well, listen. What did we just read? What did we just read before that? We pray in God's will. We pray for God's will to be done. He knows what's best for us. But see, what God wants to do is he wants to, as I spend time with the Lord, what he wants to do as I spend time in prayer with the Lord, he wants to take the desires out of me that are not productive to my relationship with the Lord. He wants to take those out and instill his desires for my life in my heart. So does that make sense this morning? We pray God's will be done. And if my will isn't lining up with God's will, well, then there's a problem. And it's not a problem with God. It's our problem with us. But see, as I delight myself in the Lord, as I spend time with the Lord in prayer and scripture and praising God, you know, guess what? He will take those desires away. I'm living proof of it. Now, there's a lot of stuff that we kick and scream about that we don't want to get rid of, you know. But see, here's the thing. The more I love God, the more I'm not going to want to grieve the Holy Spirit. The more I'm not going to want him to make the Lord sad over the things that I'm holding on to. Does that make sense this morning? So when we pray, God, your will be done. And if my will doesn't line up with his will, that's something we need to take very seriously and say, you know what? You know what's best. Your will be done. So prayer's not always, it's not always for you to get what you want, but allow God to work in you. Allow God to work in you. Let me explain it like this. Sometimes I go to prayer and I feel like I'm pretty confident what I need to be praying for. And so I go to God before this prayer, and a lot of times, often, not every time, you know, but sometimes God will begin to minister to me and say, hey, you know what? You need to pray this way, all right? I want to do something bigger than what you're even thinking about. I got a bigger plan or a better plan, a different plan than what you're asking for. So we want God's will. See, look at that again. Look at 37 and 4 Psalms. Delight yourself in the Lord. God, I just want to please you. You were everything. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So we want to align our will with his will. And that's a tug of war because we live in this fleshly body that doesn't always agree with what the Word of God says. Well, we need to make sure that we deny ourselves and pick up our cross daily and follow him. He's what's truly important. Can I get a witness? Amen. Give the Lord some praise. So we're talking about God's will, praying in God's will, not just mouthing the words, but meaning it. So look at John 14 and verse 13. No. Let's do this. So we just did Psalm 37 and verse 4. I want to jump down to John 15 and 7. John 15 and 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Man, that sounds pretty awesome, don't it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you're doing life with Jesus, if you're spending time with Jesus, okay, let's be presumptuous for a tiny little minute. If I want God's will, then maybe I'm not going to ask for stupid, selfish stuff, right? I mean, that's kind of the root of the situation here. If you abide in me, or if I'm in Jesus, all right, if I'm in relationship with him, and I want his will, I want what his want, then that's going to determine what I bring before him as far as a petition or what I'm asking for. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Isn't that amazing? God just said, I'll give you the desires of your heart if you let me give you the desires of your heart. If you let me instill in you, you know, my will for you, and you want what I want, I can guarantee you that I'm going to answer that prayer. Your will, God's will be done. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, prayer is seriously, it's one of the hardest things to really commit to do. I've always found that reading scripture was always easier for me. And I love spending time in the Word of God, and we definitely need to do that. You know, but there's, seriously, just like when you go to read the good book, a million things will pop into your head. Hey, you need to do this before you read the Bible. You need to do this. Oh, you forgot to do this. Really? Do we really need to do that stuff first? Maybe, maybe not, you know. But if you got something boiling on the stove, you might want to deal with that. But see, there's a million things that are going to flood your mind to try and take you away from spending time with the Lord. And see, when we spend time with the Lord, amazing things happen. He can take what we thought we really, really needed, and over time, he can, you know, convince us the truth of the matter is that you really don't even need that. You know, that's no. It's not the right time for that. I got something better for you. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He guides us. He leads us. He provides for us. And that shepherd certainly knows what's better for them little sheepies than the little sheepies do. They'll walk right off a cliff, man. And so here we are. You know, the Lord is our shepherd. We're going to get in trouble unless we follow the shepherd. And so he says, pray, come hang out with me, but ask my will to be done. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we want God's will. Look at your neighbor and say, we want God's will. Okay, so John 14 and verse 13. Yeah, John 14 and verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, we're talking about getting our prayers answered right now, man. Okay, you want your prayers answered? And he answers them all, but I'm saying it like this, man. We want what God wants. And if you want that prayer answered in the affirmative, you say, God, I want what you want. Your will be done. Make sense? John 14 and verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. What? Whatever you ask in my name, I thought we had to ask in God's will. Say, God, your will be done. Yeah, we do. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus is saying, ask in my name, and I'm going to grant that request. I want to make that happen. So first of all, when we spend time in prayer, okay, we need to understand that my access to the throne room of heaven my access to the Father's presence is granted through Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? It's the only way we have access to God the Father, the only way that we have eternal life, the only way that our sins can be forgiven, the only way that God is going to hear our prayers is through Jesus Christ. See, he's the one that connected us to God the Father. He's the one that died for our sins. Okay, remember the whole thing. You're not good enough on your own. You're not cool enough on your own. You can't get to heaven on your own. You can't pay for it. It doesn't work that way. You're not good enough. None of us are good enough. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all fallen short. Every single one of us, the best of us, has fallen short. We're not perfect. Okay, the standard is perfection. We've all fallen short of that standard, which is Jesus Christ. But because I accepted Jesus Christ, because remember, on the cross, your sins was placed on him, and his righteousness was placed on you. So when I pray, I say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. But if you forget to say in the name of Jesus, it's all right. God looks at your heart. You don't have to be sick about saying, oh man, I didn't say in the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, we should say it, but that's not really all this verse is talking about. It is a reminder that the reason you have access to the throne room of heaven is because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You don't have any access any other way. There's no other name to heaven except through him. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name. See, it also means this, man. Okay, in ancient times, in Bible days, let's just get really cool and say in Bible days, right? In the old ancient days, your name meant your character. Your name meant what you were like, okay? That's why in Scripture, we see where God goes around changing people's names from time to time. You know, he changed, Saul to Paul, right? Abram to Abraham, Jacob to Israel. He went around changing people's names when there was a change in him. Simon to Peter, you know. Okay, but your name was to represent your character or who you were back then. So when I pray in the name of Jesus, yet again, it's me saying, God, I want Jesus's will. I want God's will. I want your will to be done. I identify with the character of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and I pray just like he was offering up this prayer. I want his will to be done. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. We say, God, your will be done. Let's go to the next slide. And we're not going to be near as disappointed if we say, God, your will be done, because he certainly sees the big picture. Can I get a witness? And he certainly wants what's best for us. So I knew this young lady. I hope I don't butcher this. Anyways, here we go. This popped into my head last night. I thought, well, I'd share it with these guys. I love all these people. So anywho, I knew this young lady. She's not young anymore, but when I met her, she was young. She's still beautiful. But so anyways, man, there was this young lady, precious young lady, And goodness gracious. She really thought that her life would be worthless without this certain young man in her life. She dated this fella for several years. She really cared for the young fella. I knew the guy as well. He's a nice guy. Good enough fella. We were buddies. We were bros. Anyways, this is so weird. Anywho, how are you guys doing? Okay. So anyways, this young fella, this precious young lady, would go to her grandmother and say, you know, my boyfriend, who I cannot imagine living my life without, we broke it off. We're no longer an item, and I'm just worried sick about it. And she would pray. She would pray to God. God, work this out. God, bring this fella back into my life. I can't imagine life without him. And so she kept going to her grandma about this, and they would pray about it. And grandma said, listen here, young lady, something along those lines. Why don't you pray God's will be done? Pray God's will be done, not what you think needs to happen, okay? Because sometimes that can be very different. And we can't imagine our life without this person or something like that in our life. So we're like, I don't want to pray that. But see, that's what I say. We delight ourselves in the Lord. What does God want out of my life? Why are we really here? What do we exist for? We're here on this earth to give God glory. Amen. So anyways, long story boring. Grandma says to her, pray God's will. She still fought it. She kept praying. Oh, God. Eventually, she said, God, your will be done, not my will. She was just miserable, just brokenhearted over this breakup between this fellow that she cared so much about. But she began to pray, God, your will be done. And it wasn't long after that, this is a true story. It wasn't long after that, I met this young lady. It was Rachel Jean. It was my old lady. Yeah, it was Rachel Jean. She said, God, your will be done. And then all of a sudden, I run into Rachel Jean, and she heard this voice. She heard this voice from the clouds, and this beam of light shined down, and it said something along the lines of, lose the zero and get with this hero. No, it wasn't like that at all. But the story was true. She prayed, God, your will be done. And then we run into each other. I didn't even know her. I knew her boyfriend. I thought she was pretty, but I never thought about her. That was that guy's girlfriend. But you see, there's like three things that I know for sure, Wally. There's like three, maybe two and a half, maybe three, maybe four things that I know that I know that I know that I know. One of them, I know that I'm supposed to preach the gospel. That doesn't mean I'm great at it. I know I'm supposed to do it. Okay? I know God is who he says he is. And I know that God made Rachel Jean for me. Yeah. Yeah. She's not even in here, man. But anyways, the moral of the story is she began to pray, God, your will be done. And God moved in that direction. Okay, so anyways, here we are, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And I hope I didn't bore you guys too much with that story. But it is a nice little picture, ain't it? Hebrews 11, verse 6. We want God's will to be done. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, okay? So we're moving a little bit to saying, God, your will be done, to saying, I don't need to doubt. They go hand in hand. I want God's will, and then I need to have faith in God. I'm not just talking about relational faith. Okay, that's certainly part of it, and we'll hit that before we close for today. But what it's talking about is not doubting in God's goodness, not doubting in God's ability. See, remember, he's our heavenly Father. And sometimes that messes us up because, like I said before, you know, in industry, sometimes our dads were absent. Sometimes we didn't have a dad. Sometimes our dad was not the best example of a great father. Okay, so that kind of messes up our image of this wonderful God that we have that says, I am light years better than the best dad that's ever walked this earth. He says, I love you and I'm faithful to you. And because I love you, I'm not going to always just jump and give you exactly what you want because that's not always the best thing for you. Okay, he says, we pray your will be done and we trust in him, Brother Donnie. We put our faith in him. Okay, Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God, what is a picture of drawing near to God? How about a time of prayer? Would draw near to God must believe that he exists. Do I believe, church people, do I believe that God exists, or do I believe that God is who he says he is, that he is my loving father, that he does have a good plan for my life? He must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So as I go to the Lord in a time of prayer, I need to believe that God wants to bless me, that God honestly wants to bless me. He's not out to hurt me. All right, remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. That verse, God is trying to encourage the Israelite people who are in slavery by their own fault. God kept telling them, stop worshiping these false idols, man. Stop doing it. And he pleaded with them over and over again. So God allows them to get what they want, to worship these idols, has them led off to Babylon, downtown Idolville. You know, that's all they did. You know what I mean? That's what they did, man. But God meets with them and says, hey, you didn't have to go this road, but I knew before the beginning of time you were going to go down this road. I still love you, and I want to encourage you. We're going to get through this. I still have a good, good plan for you. Okay, so we have to come to this place, as I spend time with God, that God does want what's best for me, not doubting. Does that make sense? I'm trusting in God's ability and his goodness. Look at James 1, 6, and 7. Let me enjoy some of this water. It's so good to have our wonderful visitors here. It's so good to be with everybody. I love you guys. I'm so stoked just right now. Right now, I'm stoked. James 1, 6, and 7. But let him ask in faith. Same thing. Let him ask in faith. With no doubting. Talking about talking to God. Spending time in prayer. God, your will be done, and I'm not doubting. I'm trusting in your goodness. I'm trusting in your ability. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, this not doubting or this faith is not exactly what we would think at surface level when I read that verse, okay? It's not exactly saying that you have to know that you know that you know that when I ask for God to do this, he is going to do what I ask of him. Does that make sense? It's not talking about that, saying, God, I really need this to happen, and I have no doubt that you're going to make this happen, okay? We do need to have faith in God's ability. We do need to have faith that God is going to do what's best for me. But remember, as I'm praying in God's will, his will might be something completely different than what I'm thinking I'm needing. Does that make sense? Okay, but it talks about having that faith and not doubting in the fact that my Father is going to give me what's best for me, that my Father is going to do what's best for me. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? Okay, so anyways, I want God's will, whatever that is. And no doubting, I am completely trusting in God's goodness, God's character to do what is best for me. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So don't be like that wave tossed here and there. I think God wants to bless me. And like I said, sometimes because, you know, our dads were whatever, we have, you know, it's kind of weird. But see, that's why I need to delight myself in the Lord. I need to spend time with the Lord. See, when we taste of the Lord, we're going to know that he's good. Amen. So we spend time with the Lord. And then we can have peace by knowing that he is going to do what's best for me. He is my loving Father. He will never leave me or forsake me. Okay, for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Look at Mark 9. 23 and 24. This is a neat little story right here, and we're not going to read the whole thing. Matter of fact, we're just going to read those two verses, a part of this story, but we need to understand this. We're going to pray that God's will be done, whatever that situation is, and we're not going to doubt that God is not going to do what's best for me. I have faith, I have trust that God is going to do what's best for me in this situation, whatever I'm asking for, because I don't always know the right thing to pray for. But Mark 9, 23 and 24, we have the story of this this guy, his son was demon possessed. And this demon would take over this young man and throw him around. And the young man was having a horrible time. The father was having an absolutely horrible time. And so he asked Jesus, Jesus, can you do something about this? And this is what Jesus says. And you need to go back and read the whole story of Mark 9. But for sake of time, this is where we're going to jump in. Mark 9, 23. And Jesus said to him, if you can. See, that's really, really cool right there. Because the father says, if you can do anything. And Jesus is like, what do you mean? If I can, do you know who you're talking to? And Jesus said to him, if you can. Look at what Jesus says. All things are possible for the one who believes. All things are possible for the one who believes. So there it is again. I'm putting my belief, I'm putting my trust, I'm not doubting, I'm trusting in God going to do the best thing for my situation, whatever it is. And that might not be him giving me the thing that I asked him for. It might be something different. There's always going to be something better. You might not even see it at the time. But see, verse 24. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. I do believe. Help my unbelief. I love that because here's this guy that is in a horrible situation. His heart is broken. Like any father, if your child was going through this crazy situation, his heart is broken. He knows Jesus is his only hope. And Jesus says, do you believe? Yeah. Anything's possible if you believe. And he says, I do believe. I do. But please help my unbelief. You know, it's like, I do, but I don't know if I'm, I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I know they tell me you're good. I know they tell me you can do these things, but this is such a huge, huge thing in my life where it looks like it can never get fixed. It can never be better. I don't know what that would even look like to have a peaceful home and my child be made whole. You know, I hear you can do it, but I don't know if you can do it. He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. So sometimes if we doubt, if we ever doubt, God says, I can help you with that. I can help you with your unbelief. I can help you with your doubt. Come to me and I will give you rest. God wants to help us. He wants to give us that peace of knowing that God's way is the best way. And yes, God can do all things. Remember, God can do all things. Luke 1 verse 37 is a dandy verse for us all to remember. For nothing is impossible with God. So as we go to the Lord with our petition, our asking his request, let's know that God can do it. He can do far beyond what we can even ask. But at the end of the day, we say, God, your will be done, not mine. Make sense? We cool? Okay, let's go to the next slide, church people. I love you guys very, very much. I thought what we would do is briefly talk about the things that would hinder the Lord listening to our prayers, or what would cause God to not bend his ear towards my prayer. Okay, so we're not going to go all the way down that today. Just for time's sake, we're not going to go all the way down that list. But I do plan, Lord willing, to finish this little thing on prayer next week. But what I do want to talk about with the remaining part of our time is what is the biggest hindrance to God not listening to my prayer or hearing my prayer? And that kind of goes without saying, but not everybody knows this. Okay, I have to be in relationship with my Lord and Savior. Okay, the biggest hindrance to God not listening to your prayer is you not being in the family. Does that make sense? He doesn't have to listen to the unbeliever's prayer. He doesn't have to, but he will listen. Well, let me read this verse. John 9 and verse 31. Little story goes along with this as well. We'll just give you a little bit of the story to kind of help with this verse right here. So there was this dude, this fella, and he was born blind. And Jesus comes up and heals the guy, so now he can see, right? And so the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day, they were like these, kind of like the Supreme Court, but they like ruled over all things religious, but also civil matters as well. And the Romans who ruled Israel allowed them to stay intact to help keep peace. And the Pharisees used this amazing authority that they had to their advantage. And there was a lot of Pharisees, not all of them, but a lot of Pharisees really did not have any kind of relationship with the Lord at all. They had a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of book learning, okay, but they didn't have that relationship with God. And they used that not always to the best. But anyway, so the Pharisees, most of them did not like Jesus Christ at all. Couldn't stand him. He was upsetting their apple cart, man, big time. Okay. So anyways, they didn't want God's will in their life. They wanted their will in their life. But as the story goes in Scripture, this guy is just healed and he's no longer blind. The Pharisees grab him up and say, hey, what's going on here? How'd this happen? This is Sabbath day. What's going on? Who healed you? What? Stop. Hold the phone. What is up? All God's people sitting them. He said, I don't even know who the guy was, but I do know this, and I'm paraphrasing. Go back and read John 9, okay? Amazing story. This is what the blind guy says. He's actually, God is using this blind guy. He's not blind anymore, but God is using this uneducated, unlearned person to school these fancy boy Pharisees, and they don't like it. But this is what the formerly blind man says. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Okay, so let's take that word sinners. It's not, okay, listen, as Christian folks, we're all aware of this. As Christians, God-fearing people, we love Jesus Christ. We fall short every day. We commit sins all the time. Now, every day it's supposed to be more of God, less of myself. I'm on that road of delighting myself in the Lord. I want to be a God-pleasing man, not a man-pleasing man. But we know we all fall short. It's not talking about the person that used to sin before Christ. It's not talking about the Christian that drops the ball from time to time. What it's talking about is, look, we know that God does not listen to sinners or to people that are not in a relationship with God, people that are not in a covenant relationship with God where they're going to have to pay for their own sins, people that aren't worried about pleasing God. Make sense? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, see, sinner or a worshiper of God, an unbeliever or a believer, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. So in order for God to hear my prayer at all, I need to be in relationship with God. Okay, I need to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. And he will hear that prayer. He'll definitely hear that prayer of repentance. When that unbeliever, just like we all did, and none of us are perfect, we're not looking down on anybody because without God's grace, that's us, man. You know, we're not looking down on anybody. We're not better than anybody. We're not any better than the dude that woke up in the ditch this morning. We're not any better than the dude that woke up and doesn't know where his car is this morning. Whatever, you know what I'm saying. We're not better. We accepted that precious gift. And so anyways, talking about, just a little side note here, talking about being a worshiper of God or being a Christian, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, see, that's something that is going to happen in the life of a Christian. Remember, more of God, less of me. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. Okay, so what's going to happen as I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior? I'm going to begin to bear some fruit. I'm going to begin to want to do what God wants me to do. Even in my prayer life, God, not my will, your will be done. You're what you need. So we will bear fruit. That's a sign of being a Christian. Okay, is everybody with me? God listens to him. So first of all, for God to hear my prayer, I need to be in the family. Does that make sense? I need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, all you got to do to be in the family is this right here. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if I see my sins as vile and wicked, and see that's, you know, as a Christian man, sometimes I have to let God really speak to me and say, you know, that's vile and wicked, what you're thinking about. You know, that's vile and wicked, what you've been doing. You know, sometimes I don't see it that way, but see, we got to line our will up with God's will, and he'll expose it to us. You know, we let God search our hearts in a time of prayer. He'll say, man, you need to cut that out. That's not productive to our relationship. That's not really good. Well, no, this is how I am, or this is how I was brought up, or this is just my thing. Well, remember, it's God's will, not my will. Can I get a witness? And that's what we're here for. So if we confess our sins, if I see them as wicked and vile, okay, so let's talk about the unbeliever. Because we want the unbeliever to be saved. We want them to have that wonderful, wonderful blessing of knowing that they're going to live forever. But not just live forever, but live with the Most High God and grow in relationship with Him for all eternity and have that wonderful blessing of that intimacy with the Lord for all eternity. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And look at this part. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's as simple as saying, I'm a sinner. I repent of these sins. I turn from these sins. I need a Savior, Jesus Christ. You are the Savior. You're the Son of God. You died on the cross. You rose from the dead for me. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to follow you. Okay, boom. If you say that or you pray that and you mean it, guess what? You've just been forgiven. God will hear that prayer of repentance. Amen? Can I get a witness? We're not born good, and that's not a popular thing to say. Humanity is not born good. And we're not in the direction without Jesus of becoming a better people. We have to have Jesus. We have to have Jesus. Anything good you are is because of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Luke 18:13-14. Closing up here. Just a little picture. Tiny little picture about repentance, because God doesn't want anyone to perish. What about you? Do you care if anybody perishes? See, that's something that the Lord's been working with me on. You know, how much do I care about these people? Because some people, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to witness to that guy. He's so stubborn and whatever and all that. Well, do you care about that person? Because God cares about that person, and God put that person in your life. Anyways, we need to witness. But anyways, Luke 18:13-14, we have this picture of two men coming to pray. One a Pharisee, one a tax collector. The Pharisee was righteous in his own eyes, man. He thought he had it all together. When he began to pray, he was just talking down about other people. You know, he really wasn't going before the Lord. He felt that he was good enough, that he had all. He looked, and at the outward appearance, he looked like that fancy television evangelist. He just had it all going on, man. He looked perfect, all right? And he looked so holy, and the way he would pray to draw everybody's attention, man, if you saw that guy without discernment, you'd be like, man, that dude, that is one holy cat right there. That is one holy dude. Okay, but see, Jesus looks at the heart. So anyways, Luke 18:13-14. But the tax collector standing far off, didn't really feel like he fit in with the crowd at church that day. But the tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. This guy knew he was a sinner. But beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Okay, this guy is repenting of his sins. He realizes his need for God right now. He realizes, I can't do this on my own. I'm a crook. So Jesus is laying this thing out. He's like, you got the Pharisees who at face value, they look so awesome. And you would just think, man, they're going to be the first ones into heaven. They're so holy and righteous and pious. And man, those guys got, whoops. Anybody want some Cheetos? I don't mind sharing. Anyways, the Pharisee versus the tax collector. No Israelite, no Jew really liked tax collectors unless you were a tax collector. You know? Okay, so the deal with tax collectors is they were kind of looked at as like a turncoat or someone that had betrayed their nation, betrayed their country. They have aligned themselves up with Rome, who was ruling Palestine, who was ruling Israel at the time. And these tax collectors would actually have to come up with money and go see the Romans ruling the area and give them money, pay for the service, pay for the privilege of becoming a tax collector for Caesar or the Roman government. But now what happens is you have the authority of Rome backing you up. So you're not just a traitor, but you have the backing of Rome, meaning no one's going to mess with you. If they do, the full force of that Roman garrison can come down on you and will come down on you because Caesar wants his money. So these tax collectors had a lot of privileges, man. They could go through life with a lot. Nobody liked them, but they could get the best of the best because say Caesar says, hey, I need a buck 80. I need a buck 80 from every person, man, woman, or child. I need a buck 80. All right. And you go up to him and you say, hey, Caesar needs 250. 250. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. You better figure out a way to do it. You might have to sell off the farm, a couple goats, a couple chickens. You might have to put yourself into slavery or something like that. But you better come up with the money. See, that tax collector had that authority through Rome, and they were known to rip people off. That's just what they did. You know what I mean? So anywho, we see this tax collector versus the fancy boy Pharisee who looks like he's going to be the first one into heaven. Okay, but see, God looks at the heart. And see, all it takes for us is to repent. Repent of our sins. Realize, man, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I cannot do it on my own. All right, I have broken God's law. And that's all of us. We've all fallen short. Nobody's worse than the other. All right. But see, when I repent of my sins and ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, boom, I'm in the family. And that was the first prayer that God heard from you when you said, I repent of my sins. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. He hears that prayer. And now you're in relationship with the Lord. And now he wants to hang out with you he wants to hang out with you as often as you're able. He wants to spend time with you. So in closing, and that's not all inclusive. There's other things, other reasons why God would not hear our prayers. We're going to get into that next week. Okay? I'll tell you one thing. If you regard iniquity in your heart, just a little foreshadowing of next week. If you're a Christian person, but you refuse to let go of something that God wants you to let go of, that can and will hinder your prayer life. Read up on that. We'll talk about that because remember, we want God's will to be done. Okay, so that means I'm going to pray God's will, but that means I'm also going to let God lead me to do his will, meaning I'm not going to disobey what God wants me to do. Okay, we're going to talk about that next week, but I want to spend the next couple minutes, and just a couple minutes, but this is the most important time of this service right here, in my opinion, and I believe I'm correct. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you had not made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I got news for you, and I'm not trying to upset you or hurt your feelings. I don't know who I'm talking to, if I'm talking to anybody, but I'm not going to miss this opportunity, you know. Everybody in here might be saved, but there is no eternal life for you without Jesus Christ. Now, there's eternal separation for you from our Lord, which is not good. So humanity, we have this choice. Either live with the Lord forever and ever, which is not boring. You're not going to be sitting on a cloud playing a harp. I mean, that would be horrible. I mean, it might be cool for like 8 minutes, not eternity. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but it's going to be wonderful. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be good. Okay. You have that choice or you have eternal damnation. And that's just how it works. Well, that ain't what my college professor said. That isn't what the cool kids behind the shady tree said. Well, man, I hate to say it. They're wrong. They're wrong. Okay? But I'm here to tell you and search your heart because you know it's true. You know it's true. Deep down in your heart, you know that there's something missing that cannot be filled by some poetry book or philosophies or just whatever. Okay? You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's not that difficult because the hard part has already been done by Jesus. He died on that cross, a brutal death. He died on that cross and he said, it is finished. He said, paid in full. All the sins of humanity was placed on him. And his righteousness is available for us. Us as Christians, we've already been declared righteous by what he's done for us. And we accepted that. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you want to do that, I'm not going to embarrass you. The last thing I want to do is embarrass you. And I don't even know if I'm talking to anybody. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would invite you to say this prayer with me and to mean it. And it's as simple as this, saying it and meaning it. Okay, and everybody's welcome to do it. Dear Lord, I realize that I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins. I ask you to be the Lord of my life, my Lord and Savior. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died and rose from the dead for my sins and eternal life. For my sins and eternal life. There we go. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here's the news. Go ahead and give the Lord some praise. Here's the deal. If you prayed that, and you can say, well, I prayed that and I didn't fall over, I didn't flop around, I didn't see no sparkles, I didn't go under for a minute. Okay, that's all right, man. None of that matters. And it's okay if that did happen. You know, that's totally cool. Sometimes we're looking for something crazy to happen when we say that prayer. And we're like, well, I guess it didn't take. I still feel the same. No, if you said it and you meant it, or you prayed it and you meant it, God heard you and you are now in the family. And we love you very, very much. So thank you, Jesus. So welcome to the family. Welcome to eternal life. And I don't know if I'm talking to anybody, but if you prayed that, take a Bible, take the good Bible, read it, spend time in it. Read the book of John, start there. Read the Bible, spend time in prayer, because now you got access to the throne room of heaven. So talk to God, pray, read the Bible, and get involved in a church. We'd love to have you here if you don't already have one. But get involved in a church. I love you guys. God bless you. I do have an announcement.